In your Lutheran liturgy, you have been entrusted with a precious birthright.
Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Don't let anyone persuade you that it's worth selling off for a pot of evangelical pottage. It is not. It is a wonderful gift.
You can listen to Pastor Whedon's presentation, Making the Case for Classical Christian Worship, and teachings by Todd Wilkin, Rod Rosenblatt, Chris Roseborough, Alvin Schmidt, and Suzanne Venker on a new audio DVD for the Making the Case Conference. For a $300 donation to Issues Etc. before Labor Day, we'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
You'll find your greatest concentration of atheists not in the Soviet Politburo, but in the editorial offices of the New York Times.
The way you fight this is by never making the compromise to begin with. If you don't compromise and understand that their technique is to short-circuit your thinking and get you to be able to make these little baby steps, they're going to be the ones in control.
I'm a pastor. I deal with issues pastorally. I deal with issues constantly. I deal with issues carefully, but persistently. And I'm not a bull in a china shop, but I'm going to be faithful. You can count on that.
Confessional Lutheran Deadheads love Issues Etc.
Well, it's over with almost as quickly as it began. It was a short event held in St. Louis, probably covered a little bit by the national press, more by the local press, and of course of special interest to me and to many of our Issues Etc. listeners, because my church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, met in its triennial convention, the 65th, in St. Louis this week. And it's a very short, kind of a sweet, and I mean that in more than one way, kind of a sweet, touching, and laid back, can I say, a laid back event for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to get a final report on the 65th Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be our guest. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Molly, getting a recap on the LCMS convention, Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine is going to join us. He's going to talk about the moral argument that seemed to have worked beautifully for gay marriage. And then Pastor Ted Giese will join us. We'll review a horror movie. It's playing right now. It's a big blockbuster. And they say it's kind of like all the horror movies you ever watched rolled into one. The Conjuring, a movie review in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway's a regular guest. She's a reporter in Washington, D.C., and she's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks. It's wonderful to be here.
This was a short session, but it was the final session. What was the biggest thing accomplished today at the LCMS convention in St. Louis?
Oh, man, it's hard to say. It was a short session, but maybe more things got voted on today than happened in the previous sessions. I think there were many important things that happened. There were resolutions to one of the ones that was actually most contentious might be an interesting place to start. And that was whether there should be that check and balance on faculty at the Concordia Seminaries, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. It was so contentious that I think you actually had a slight difference of opinion between the two heads of the seminaries, one favoring it, one not favoring it. That was the closest resolution we saw. It ended up passing that there should be a check and balance on the hiring of this faculty. I think it only passed like 60-some% of the vote. Now, in the old days, that would have been a huge, huge, huge margin of victory for whichever side won. In this case, that was one of the most narrow victories that we saw coming out of this convention, because most things were being voted on with overwhelming support. So that was maybe a big moment during today's day.
Staying on the issue of the training of pastors, the specific ministry program, which has been kind of the latest fix to a lay ministry program that was started back in 1989 at a synodical convention. What was decided by the delegates at the convention with regard to specific ministry pastors?
Okay, and a lot of these resolutions simply say that there's going to be a review at a higher level of a program. And so you think, well, what's the big deal? How big of a deal is a review or whatnot? This is one of those resolutions, though, that also was, I thought, going to be more contentious, but sort of the more confessional side of things wanted this review of SMP because of some of the unintended consequences that have come out of this program. The other side didn't want it, but it passed overwhelmingly to have a review. So that was another big thing coming out of today.
And in that case, if I'm not mistaken, when I was watching this morning, the presidents of both seminaries stood to essentially reassure the delegates that they were trying to stay on top of the specific ministry pastor program.
Yeah, they were. But it's also important to look at the whereases in all these resolutions and what can happen when the program is under review. If it's not under review, nothing can happen. A lot of pastors out in the field have been frustrated, I think, with SMP, with the theology and the practice of that. So any kind of review can help resolve those things. That is also actually a good example of how this convention is different and why I think there might be such huge majorities passing everything. Whereas before, they were maybe more political, or you'd try and get like a victory right at convention or whatnot. The current administration seems to think that it's really important to truly work out theological differences as opposed to just vote something up or down. And so you're seeing a lot of these resolutions that craft mechanisms for people to actually discuss, different sides of things and get people together, get the district presidents together, get people talking, and have people come more towards a consensus-like approach to the issues that people tend to get tangled up in, as opposed to just like a naked political victory.
Talk about then staying on the vein of pastoral ministry, or at least a deviation from pastoral ministry. What was decided regarding lay deacons that were formerly referred to as lay ministers, and concerns about about the Missouri Synod's deviation from its own confession of faith in Article 14 of the Augsburg Confession that say we should not be preaching or administering the sacraments unless rightly called?
It's kind of an interesting moment. This is yesterday something that came up, and it was interesting because there was also some debate on this matter. There was someone who got up who didn't want a review of this lay deacon program, which is largely, I think, in the Pacific Northwest. And he had a line. He was a pastor, I think, but he said, "Well, I love the Lutheran confessions, but." And I thought, well, I think he's lost. He's lost the boat right there because, telling this type of crowd you love the Lutheran confessions, however, is not going to go over well. Well, not like 2 guys later, another guy comes up with his Book of Concord that is duct taped together because it's like falling apart, and he spoke in favor of review. And that carried pretty handily. Right after that, there was another sort of confessional issue at stake about proper administration of the sacraments. That also carried with an overwhelming majority. I mean, I think we were talking like 90 percentiles for these things on some of them. And so you're seeing large confessional agreement and an attempt to sort of return to a more confessional approach to resolving issues. There's been some deviation that's happened in the Lutheran Church over the last few decades. And a lot of the people who came to this convention seem to want to return to a more confessional subscription that might have been, that's more with the tradition of Lutheranism as opposed to maybe more generic Protestantism.
Yesterday we spoke about the so-called CRM status of many pastors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, candidate for reverend ministry. I think yesterday you called it a limbo or a no man's land where men will languish on this list without calls or eligibility for calls, in effect, for a long, long time, months and years. Yesterday, it got stalled and ran out of time. Did anything happen today?
Yeah, I think I mentioned yesterday, too, that when that happens, the last day of convention, almost anything can happen. And and a lot did today. And that was one of those issues that was going to come up. And you could tell it was going to come up because people were pushing so hard for it yesterday. They were very frustrated that it didn't come to the floor. And so it came today to the floor. And there was actually an attempt to even strengthen the resolution that dealt with this issue. One delegate proposed that a specific amount of money be given to a fund that helps these men who are languishing in this no man's land of $100,000 or something like that. It was actually withdrawn because the President Harrison said it wasn't necessary, that there's funding, that the that the fund that he wanted to put the money toward was actually fully funded at this time. But that passed overwhelmingly. And I think that a lot, that's the issue I've just been hearing so many people talk about. And I think a lot of people were sent to this convention to deal with that issue. And so they would tell me, you know, I have a friend who really pleaded for help on this, or, you know, I have a buddy who really asked me that if I do nothing else, I come here and take care of this. And so that was a resolution that was very important to a lot of these men out of concern for their brothers who asked them to help out on this. And that was an important thing for a lot of people to get done. It was one of the many things that got done today.
Well, in that vein, was in that resolution, can you, at this point, have you digested enough to say what specifically action was directed toward the issue of the CRM?
I feel badly that I don't actually have a good, a good handle on the specifics of it. I kind of get the top line on these things, and I know that there was a lot of work put into the resolution, a lot of back and forth on the floor committee and whatnot. But it was something that was important for a lot of people. I think that yes, you probably would have seen people wanting some more teeth in some of these resolutions that got passed with overwhelming majorities. And it's also, worth pointing out: would you rather be passing these things with these huge, huge super majorities where everybody's in agreement, and that's a nice thing because it's showing a lot of unanimity, or would you rather try and push things further and be willing to sacrifice some percentage of the vote to take things farther? I think, this is one of those issues where it might be partially a different style, but it also might be back to what we talked about earlier. A lot of people here are new at this convention. If you don't know how far you can push it, you might play it safe. And so I think maybe some of this was just a theological determination to be as unanimous as possible and to do something that craft something that could be accepted by the vast, vast, vast majority of delegates, which is very different than how Missouri has handled things in the past. But it also could be just that people didn't know how far they could take it, and they were worried they would lose and get nothing. And so they will learn more coming out of this convention in terms of how much you can get passed in a given resolution.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. We're getting a final report on the 65th Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on this Thursday afternoon, July the 25th. She's a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. When we come back, some of the unfinished business from 3 years ago in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was the radical restructuring of that church body's organization. Were the next steps in that restructuring taken by this convention? We'll be right back.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Rick Warren is the center of a spiderweb network that crosses every denomination in the world. And he has as much power, if not more, in the LCMS than Matthew Harrison.
Chris Roseborough speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Think of Rick Warren as a guy who has a pan district within the LCMS. There are pastors within the LCMS who would sooner call up Rick Warren or some of the guys in his coaching network asking for help than they would call their own district president or, God forbid, Matt Harrison. In other words, Rick Warren is probably one of the most powerful men in our Synod.
You can listen to Chris's entire presentation and all of the presentations from the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference on our new audio DVD for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. We'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A few more minutes with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of GetReligion.org, getting a final report on the 65th Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Then Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine joins us. We'll talk about the moral argument for gay marriage, one that worked even on the opponents of same-sex marriage. A very interesting take on the inevitability of gay marriage in the United States from Aaron Wolf in just a few minutes. Molly, one of the leftover pieces of business from the last convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 2010, held in Houston, was pretty radical restructuring of the organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Were the next steps of that reorganization taken by this convention?
Yeah, this was one of the little subplots that I found most interesting. Restructuring was the theme of the last convention, and so many things were voted on with that, but a few things were voted down or didn't make it through for one reason or another. Well, the guy who led that restructuring effort was on a floor committee, and it's Larry Sodarow, and he's a district president in California. Maybe you can help me out with that. Well, he brought it back. He brought a lot of these things back and was able to get them out onto the floor of the convention. They were resoundingly defeated, just truly defeated. And one of the things that was previously discussed was gerrymandering districts that went down in flames. Today was an effort to change the way delegates to the synodical convention are chosen. Currently, they are handled at the local level, so each local region gets a pastoral delegate and a lay delegate. Well, the change would have made it so that they were chosen at the district level, which would mean that many circuits might not get any delegates at all. That crashed and burned also. So I think a strong message was sent by this convention and the last convention. They wanted some things restructured, other things they didn't want restructured, and I don't think they would take kindly to having these things brought back again in 3 years.
So in the end here, how did the 65th Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which was kind of unique in that it was new delegates and new leadership and a new structure for how everything was being done, how did it end?
It ended quite nicely in terms of, I think people are happy with the amount of work they got done. I think they're happy with the peace with which things were handled. There was a lot of graciousness on the floor. I mean, it even ended with President Harrison said that, pleased by the convention. He understands that sometimes people don't get what they wished for and that we're compassionate toward all of that. It happens to all of us. He apologized if anyone was offended by his humor. He's a very funny guy. He's up there cracking jokes. And he, ended with a really magnanimous note. And we all had a prayer service as we prepared to travel and saying, "A mighty fortress is our God." It was just a very peaceful, nice ending. And I think that it's kind of the mark of this presidency. I think you'll see a lot more of this trying to achieve things peacefully with broad consensus. Occasionally that won't happen, and occasionally there will be battles. But to ask for forgiveness and to forgive each other, just kind of a different tone than maybe you see at most political conventions of this sort.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C. She's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, thank you very much for your sharing your time with us this week, and thank you for being our guest.
Thank you.